Psalm 91. One of the big questions of life is, where is our security? When you find yourself in troubling times and situations, where do you find your security? The only true answer is that of God. God is our security. When all is said and done, the one to whom we may turn in times of danger, exposure, attack, and vulnerability is God. He has never failed his people, and he never will. There are times when we find ourselves in scary situations, even under attack. It's a very real and unseen adversary who is seeking to destroy. He may attack, though, through something physical, something emotional, something financial, something spiritual. And when those attacks come, we need Psalm 91. One doctor said this psalm is the best preservative ever written for people who are sick. One of the things we must face while living in this world is there are times when we do face some intimidating enemies. We also realize that God is able to wipe out any enemy at any time he wants. There have been instances in Scripture when God did that. For example, God literally destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities of that valley by sending fire and brimstone directly from heaven. So what we have to ask ourselves, and certainly what Israel should ask herself, is if God has the power to destroy these enemies, then why doesn't he do it? At that moment we believe on Jesus Christ, why doesn't God wipe out all our enemies that would try to prevent our spiritual progress? We know that Jesus specifically prayed that we would not be taken out of the world, but that we would be kept from the evil one. But why doesn't God just remove the evil one? What we must conclude is that God knows we need these enemies in our world from time to time, because those enemies will actually help us grow closer to God. By having some negatives in our world, we actually learn things about God we would never learn without the negatives. What this psalm teaches us is that God can use negative things in our lives to take us to a deeper relationship with him, in which we are able to see God do great things and we learn we are secure. And we will purpose to draw close to the Lord during times of trouble. We will discover that God will always prove to be faithful. He will show himself strong, and our relationship can be strengthened. Verses 1 and 2, it's important to observe the names that God gives to himself in these verses. He identifies himself as the Most High, the Almighty, Jehovah, L-O-R-D, the Sovereign I Am, and God, Elohim, the self-existing, all-powerful Creator. So the potential exists for a believer to actually have a personal relationship with this almighty, powerful, sovereign God, that he is using all of his attributes and power to do wonderful things with and for his people. Now, the thing we want to grasp is, what do we have to do with this amazing God in our lives, on our side? What do we have to do in order to have the Most High, Sovereign, Almighty God do great things for us? Well, we must dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Look at verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The point of this is that we must be in close fellowship if we are to expect God to do good things for us. The idea of dwelling with God or living with God is the idea of having a good relationship with God. And one must abide in the shelter that God has provided. If we put that into New Testament doctrine, what this means is that we must first have faith in Jesus Christ, and then we must purpose to know and apply the Word of God in order to maintain fellowship with God. But then we must develop a trust in God. Look at that part in verse 1 again. They will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. If we're to expect that we will see God do some great things, we must learn to develop a trust in him. Not trust in us, it's trust in him. And we must have a love for God. We need to develop a love for God. We need to cling affectionately to God and his word. And if you are willing to meet these conditions, there are some amazing results that are going to happen when we are experiencing negative things. First of all, God will be our refuge and our fortress. Verse 2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. Notice God does not say that he will provide this. He is this. We need to learn this and know this. A refuge is a place of rest, and a fortress is a place of defense. God is both for his people. And then God will be our trust. Look at the second part of verse 2. My God, in whom I trust. Our trust is not in ourselves. Our trust is not in our works or our ability. Our trust is in God. The word trust means we may put all of our weight on God, and God will be our deliverer. Look at verse 3. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Now, there are those who are out to trap us and do deadly things against us. Those who dwell in a close relationship with God have nothing to fear because God delivers them. He will snatch them away from that which could enslave them or destroy them. And then God will cover us. Look at verse 4. He will cover you with his pinions. Just as a mother bird covers her young with her wings, so God tenderly and carefully covers us so that evil cannot touch us. This is so good to know. And then God will be a shield for us. And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. God is our defense shield. Now notice that God is a shield to us by his faithfulness. And then God will take away our fear. Look at verses 5 and 6. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. When we are right relationship with God, we do not live our lives in fear because God is watching over us and watching out for us. God wants us to learn that he is our security in troubling and fearful times. He is the one who can take away our fear. God will give us protection. Look at verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Those who maintain a relationship, we do not live our lives in fear because God is watching over us and watching out for us. God wants us to learn that he is our security in troubling and fearful times. He is the one who can take away our fear. Verse 7, you see that 1,000 would fall at your right hand. In that close relationship, we see many fall, but he will not fall. And the believer who is right with God is invincible until his or her time is up. And then God will let you see the destruction of your enemy. Look at verses 8 and 9. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. Faithful people are secure. They watch as God eventually pours out his wrath on enemies. But even though this is happening, one faithful to God realizes God is our refuge. And then God will not let evil or plagues near you. Verse 10, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. The theology here is interesting, because obviously God is in sovereign control over things that are evil and even plagues. He can authorize evil things and plagues to hit certain people, and he can also prevent those things from happening. This is talking about life and death stuff. God protects his people. And then you look at verses 11 and 12. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. The word charge is one that means God does give angels appointed commands and assignments. One of their jobs is to guard us in all our ways and to bear us up so we're kept safe. It's one of the passages that does teach us that we have guardian angels. Every believer is guaranteed to have the protection of angels. These believers so watch over faithful people that they won't even allow them to stub their toes. These were the verses that Satan quoted in tempting Jesus. Satan urged Jesus to take these words literally and jump off the top of the temple in Jerusalem. And then God will give you victory over your enemies. So to verse 13, you will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. The point here is that God protects his people from all kinds of dangers. Jesus used this very verse in sending his own apostles out to preach. The point is that God would take care of them as they were doing God's will. And then God will give you deliverance. Look at the first part of verse 14. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. This begins the I section of the psalm. God wants us to understand how personal he is to each of us. In the final three verses, the pronoun I is used 6 times. God is in the business of personally delivering people who love him. And then God will give you exaltation. I will protect him because he knows my name. God elevates and raises up people who love him and his word. And even those who love God will be elevated. God will answer your prayers. Look at the first part of verse 14. 15. When he calls to me, I will answer him. Almighty God answers the prayers of faithful people who trust him and depend on him. God will be with you in every moment of trouble. I will be with him in trouble, he says. Times of trouble are wonderful times to turn to the Lord. And then God will rescue and honor you. Look at the last part of verse 15. I will rescue him and honor him. God does not just rescue those who need it. He ends up honoring them. And then God will give you satisfaction in a long life. With long life, I will satisfy him. And God will let you see his salvation and show him my salvation. God takes care of his people all the way through life. And then in the end, he lets them actually see and behold his salvation and his Savior. Now, in order for us to see these results, we need a right relationship with God. And we need these negatives in life. We need some enemies so that we can see God do some wonderful things with us and for us. And that's the point of this psalm.